We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
This morning, if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Chapman Laxton. I'm an associate pastor here at Christian Ministries Church. I'm also the youth pastor, along with my wife, here at Christian Ministries Church. And I am so glad that you are here. But like I said in my prayer, man, Pastor Ashley was all over what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. And that is this, that we as God's people can't get content with just seeing one victory and then, okay, we're going to kick our feet up. All right, because the work is not done, you know. Just like what he said, Tuesday was a home run. Tuesday's a home run. Like, that's like, we're going to celebrate that. And you know, we're going to pump it a little bit. You know, bat flip, throw it up in the air. You know, we'll do a little bit. Because that is a big thing. That was a huge thing. It was an exciting thing. But we do, though, need to realize that we can't slow down so much and hot dog it so much that we don't realize that we're getting ready to have to get up to bat again. You know, it's not game over. It's not, okay, well, here we are. That's it. Or else what's getting ready to happen is we're going to roll back up and have to bat again, and here it comes, high and tight fastball, sweet chin music, and you're laying on the ground trying to get out of the way, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. See, that happens because we tend to get to this place where we celebrate and then we think the battle's over. See, the garden's been tended, so my job's done. Well, anybody who's got any kind of gardening in them or has a garden at their house or has ever gardened anything, the one thing you can know, and it's one of the biggest lies. My grandparents lied to me about it. You know, if you pick weeds up, well, if you pull them up by the roots, they'll never grow back. Maybe not for you, but for me, they're going to come back, you know, and we kick our feet up, and if you leave that garden, okay, I get it, we tended it, we prayed, we covered it with prayer, we pled the blood, we da-da-da-da, and then we just kick our feet up, guess what? In 4 years, we're going to be right back here in the same situation again, and that comes from having the wrong mindset, and all of that was just swirling all over what I believe what God has got for me to say, but before I do, I've got to just tell a story. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you're listening right now online or you are sitting out there, this is really not a political message. This isn't really aimed at politics. However, I'm using what's happened to kind of help set up my message. So if you just bear with me through my intro here, it gets to a lot of what I want to talk about today. But I was watching a particular coverage of the election results, and you know, my friend and I, we were watching them, and we stayed up late because, like, you know, last time I went to bed thinking, you know, okay, this thing's in the bag, and then woke up and went, whoa, what happened to the bag? You know, it was all gone. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch this all the way through the end. As if I keep my eyes on it, like, we're gonna just make sure it's there. So, I mean, I had my laptop, I had my phone, I had it on the TV. My friend and I, we were keeping track back and forth, and you know, we was kind of getting to the point where they were getting ready to call Pennsylvania, and so, you know, we got our car keys out, and we were like, start the bus, you know. But, you know, we were enjoying ourselves a little bit. And so I was, like I said, I just was keeping track on my phone, and one of the comment threads on there was like, praise God, the next 4 years are going to be heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. And just a bunch of people got right there, you know, just, yeah, that's right, amen, heaven on earth, it's going to be heaven on earth, it's going to be heaven on earth, heaven on earth. And the whole time I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, heaven on earth. Now, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's what we prayed for. But heaven on earth? You know, I think about what the Bible says, and it talks about the will of God, and it talks about how his ways are greater than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I think sometimes we gloss over that, and we don't realize that God has a bigger picture of what heaven on earth really is. You know, God is always trying to do a new thing, and he's always trying to change the way we think, and but heaven on earth to me is in the country that elected the president that I felt like morally lined up the most with the Bible, at the same time doesn't then turn right around and vote in an amendment that's going right. to take the life. Heaven on earth? Heaven on earth? You know, I get it. Popular vote says the majority of people in the United States voted for Donald Trump. You got to understand, not all them people voting for Donald Trump voted for Donald Trump for the same reasons that you and I voted for Donald Trump. Some people were, oh, I don't have it. Darn it, I was going to use my wallet. But some people were, don't throw it up here now. I don't want to drop it. I want all that money to come flying out of it. Some people were motivated because they're smart enough to realize if we'll get a guy who's going to take care of the economy, they ain't voting for Donald Trump because he fights for the unborn. You guys get what I'm saying? Heaven on earth? Heaven on earth? Look, the game's not over. And God expects us to continue to walk in heavenly authority and carry out his will. The game's not over. And we've got to understand and keep this mentality that heaven on earth comes by way of the empty grave full of promise over empty politicians full of themselves. And we can't continue to get ourselves, well, here we go. We voted in the right people. All right. We're going to be in the same spot in 4 more years. And when heaven comes, what you got to know is whenever heaven actually comes and heaven comes on earth, it's not going to be something that somebody's going to be able to take it away in 4 years. They ain't going to be able to cheat you out of heaven on earth. You get what I'm saying? And again, I just want to reiterate, this isn't a political message, but if this is the viewpoint of how we are as people, where we experience that victory and then we go, all right, now I'm going to relax. The devil's laughing the whole time. There's more at stake. It's a bigger point. And we tend to get to that place because we tend to go, okay, something good happened, therefore God is good. You know, Mel brought this point up on Wednesday. And don't get me wrong, God is good. God is good because something good happened. But God would have been equally just as good and equally still established on the throne, and his ways would still be higher than our ways had the other person won. I don't look to an election result to tell me whether or not if my God is good. I'm not looking to have heaven on earth come by way of, oh, please let the right person get into the White House. We have to keep level heads. See, Trump is just a man, and I don't know how many of you guys stayed up the whole time to watch him give his speech, but I did, and it was 1:50, 1:55 here, so it was almost 3 o'clock there, and as a man, he was tired. I watched him give his speech. And he was tired. You could tell he was tired. And I don't say that to condemn him or anything like that, but I'm just saying he is just a man. He is heaven on earth. You guys get what I'm saying this morning. See, we've got to keep our eyes opened. And we've got to not let ourselves get blind, because while this is a sight for sore eyes, I don't know about some of you guys. This is a sight for sore eyes to have someone in that I believe is going to do things that are going to line up most with the word. I believe in that. But I can't be blinded to the fact that he is just a person. And if we're going to remain blind, then even something that's good, we're blinded by what it actually is, and it makes no difference because we can't really see it for what it really is. We get overconfident. See, heaven comes through the one who holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave, not the person who holds the keys to the White House. There are just a bunch of different ways for me to say this, but the power that people have has only been given to them. You get what I'm saying? And so we celebrate it, but we can't sit back as Christians and go, all right, heaven on earth, we're here, we've arrived, we've got it, or else we're going to be just like the church in Revelation 3. Verse 15, it says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything that I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, we get so caught up in having an earthly need met that we throw our hands up and we go, hallelujah, I'm good. And if we think for 1 minute that our country now all of a sudden has overcome all the things that the enemy's trying to establish here on this earth, and we stop pursuing advancing the kingdom of God and actually trying to bring heaven on earth, that's how we're going to end up. Well, I got the president that I wanted. Okay, well, we're still lacking in everything else. There are people who got the president that they wanted and inside are still as condemned to hell because they don't know the Savior. You guys get what I'm saying? Proverbs 16:19 says, it's better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. See, heaven comes not by a country simply being established by God. And I think a lot of times as Americans, we just believe that because we know our country was founded on godly principles, we think it will always remain founded in God. And I want you to consider that's just simply not true. I mean, think about Eden. That was founded by God. How many people live in there now? I mean, how many times with Israel? The promised land. How? Just because something starts a good way doesn't mean that it's bound to eternal time of being in prosperity and heaven being there. This is a really great verse that I want to read to you right now. And this is, again, we're getting to the encouragement part. But Deuteronomy 28:63 says, just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. See, this is coming after when it says, if you obey me, you get this. And if you disobey me, you get this. We need to stop thinking that just because we got red, white, and blue on the flag that God's standing up every time, it's only because of the grace of God that we're getting a second chance. Tim Barton said, this is the grace of God that God is allowing our economy to come back, potentially. It's only by the grace of God. It's not because founded and we're one nation under God. That's not. Because if we're an under God only in principle only, it's kind of like a lot of people that go to church. We're only in church just because we get the stamp, well, I'm an under God. How do you live, though? How do you live? See, the only way that we'll actually get heaven on earth is heaven in us working through us. And see, the problem is people pray for heaven to come, and then something good happens, and then they stop, so the heaven stops advancing in their life. John 3:3 says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21 says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be seen by detectable signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. See, people miss out on that God is already among us, already working, already diligently advancing, and the Spirit of God is moving and doing things, and heaven is at work right now. But people are waiting for the right president to get in so that they can really experience the heaven of God, so they can really experience true freedom, so they can really experience true blessing, so they really That's not how heaven comes on earth. People are looking for heaven here to be a place, a time, an experience, or a person. And heaven doesn't come like that. Heaven doesn't come on earth through a person, through a place, through a thing, through a time. That's not heaven on earth. It's something, it can be something good. But unless you are abiding, like what Pastor Ashley's been talking about, it's going to be really, really fleeting. Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10 talks about this is how we should pray. Our Father, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to actively be participating in the kingdom of heaven being done on earth as it is in heaven, or else smoke and mirrors, it's all gone. It's all gone. And we have to take an active part. Matthew 18:18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What about that sounds passive? What about that sounds, we get to kick up and relax now because for the next 4 years we get to, see, it's only by the sweat of our brow that we remove the thorns and thistles will we ever get to experience heaven on, true heaven on earth. And we're not going to slide into it. We're not going to slide into it. And if you're heaven on earth, if you said that, hey, this is heaven on earth, and your heaven on earth is fleeting, fickle, flimsy, it's a false sense of security wrapped up in a mirage. And just as the enemy comes cloaked as an angel of light, what you're looking to be your salvation, or what you're looking to be is to be heaven on earth, isn't all what it appears to be. Because again, we've been talking about this. What is your source? What are you abiding in? What are you looking forward to? What are you clinging to? And then we get in this habit, and we go through these cycles where the people have gone through since the dawn of time, where hard times make us call out to God. God moves by his grace. We rejoice because the situation changes. Then we get soft because heaven's, and then we go right back into the same cycle again. We as the people of God can't stop and think just because we've had a victory, and praise God, a victory, a true victory, that our work is done. For Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Our work's not done. Our work's not done. We can have heaven on earth. We can experience heaven on earth. And we can walk out these principles. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I've got three things that I believe will allow us to have heaven on earth in a lasting way, and not in a way that can be taken away from you in 4 years if everybody flips the other way and wants to vote someone different. You experiencing heaven on earth doesn't have to be dictated by who the governor of Missouri is, who's in the Senate, who's in the house. It doesn't have to be dictated like that, because that's a shakeable kingdom. It's literally the definition of a shakeable kingdom. We can literally just shuffle the deck and get a new. It's not the same. So three things here that I believe will allow us to have heaven on earth in a lasting way. The first is this. The first way that we can have heaven on earth in our lives every single day regardless is understanding the gospel. Understand the gospel. Understand what the gospel says in its simplicity and in its complexities. Okay, what am I talking about? The gospel message is this, and there's a lot of ways to talk about it, but really quickly, you can go through the Romans road. Romans 3:3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for while we were still sinners. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans 10:13 says, then confirmation, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that's salvation. That's the gospel in simplicity. But what's the point of all that? I already read this verse, but I'll read it to you again. John 3:3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you know the gospel and unless you have believed in Jesus Christ to save you, you have no hope to see or experience true heaven on earth in your life, because you're missing the whole point of it in the first place. Just like a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump because of their wallet, the moment that is their only hope for hope. The unsaved people who at least act and think about things, and their only hope for hope is that hopefully we get the right person up there. Because without it, I don't have any other chance. But see, you and I have opportunity beyond where it goes, regardless of whoever is above us in authority. Regardless, we still have access to heaven through Jesus Christ. And we can therefore see the kingdom of heaven in our lives because of the gospel. And that's for here. That's for here. That's what Pastor Esther and I, it's for here. Jesus didn't say, then when you die, you'll see me in heaven. No. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God now. If you're born again, you can see the kingdom of God now. You can see the kingdom of heaven now. And it's for right now. And then following what Pastor Asher said, he was all over this point, is that in our salvation, in our acceptance of him as Lord, we then walk out what we say we've taken a hold of. Philippians 2:12 says this, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a motivation now. I don't live my life just doing everything that I want to do, but I want to see heaven on earth in me and through me. Therefore, because of what I believe in, I'm going to walk out my salvation like it actually matters and means something. With fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. That means that there's somebody that I'm thinking about that causes me a motivation that I need to do something. And we all the time talk about the fear of God in the sense of, well, it's reverence, it's awe, you're not actually afraid, you're not actually terrified. I want to read another verse. I want to give you an example. Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, for they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both your soul and body in hell. That doesn't sound like reverence and awe. That sounds like, boy, I better do something right. I better actually do something. I better actually live my life according to what God tells me to do. See, and I think about it like this. I loved my dad. I love my dad. I didn't love my dad. I didn't like past tense. But I love my dad. And growing up, I had a very real fear of my dad. Sure, a reverence and an awe because I thought he was really cool. But also, I knew if I acted up, that belt could come off real quick. And I trembled at the fact of, boy, I sure don't want to get whooped. So I'm motivated, yes, because I love my dad, but also for the other aspect of, boy, I want to actually live like I love my dad and do what he says. So we fear God with such a reverence, and the way we do it is by living out what the Word says. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God intended for you to believe in His Son, then live by His Word. That's what God intended. God intended for you to have heaven on earth by believing in what He did through His Son for you, and then living by what His Word says for you to do. Boy, I just feel like my life all the time is just hell. Well, do you believe in who Jesus Christ is? Yeah, I sure do. Do you do what He says? Well, in the areas that I like. In the areas that are convenient. Well, I'm submitted to everything except for. Well, I don't really get why God would tell me I have to do that. I can tell you real quick why you're not experiencing heaven on earth. You've got the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son, to save you, but not enough for Him to lead you. And remember that you only experience heaven on earth through the pathway of an empty grave full of promise. And the promise is Jesus Christ. That's the victory that we sing in. That's that whole song. That's why I love that song so much, because the victory that we're singing in has nothing to do with you or I, but what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. So that's the first way we experience heaven on earth, is we take hold of the gospel. In its simplicity, I believe, therefore I receive salvation. And in the complexities, I live according to what the Word says, so that I can experience heaven on earth. The second point, the second way that you can experience heaven on earth and keep it, is understanding sonship. And I'm saying that too, also to you daughters out there of the Most High. Understanding that you are a daughter of the Most High. I wasn't totally for sure, and I didn't get a chance to check with Mel if daughtership was a word, so I just wrote understanding sonship. But you are a child. Essentially boils down to this. You are a child of the Most High. Not in theory anymore. It's not in theory anymore. God doesn't have stepkids. Okay? You are now bought and paid for by the blood of God, and His blood flows within you. His Spirit dwells within you if you're a believer. So you have to understand that you are a child of the Most High. You are a child of who? Of the Most High. Therefore, the Most High means He is the highest of all of the mosts. Of every of the most. He is the highest of the most. He is the Most High. He is higher than any person that you might be able to think of or fear on this earth. He goes above that. Therefore, as his child, this is not about importance, but this is about understanding who you are. You are above having to be in fear of. So walk in authority. Walk in authority. People who don't walk in sonship oftentimes, I believe, don't really understand walking in obedience to God anyway. The reason why you don't feel like a son or you don't feel like a daughter is because you've bought into being saved by God, but you've not been into being led by God. And as you're led by God, you're led in the Spirit to realize your identity in Christ. And your identity in Christ is that you are a son, you are a daughter. And you don't have to earn it. You didn't earn it to begin with. So walk in authority. Walk in confidence. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in depression. Don't walk in shame. Don't cast all those things off because you are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Therefore, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. Another translation says, shining as the stars in the sky in a world full of crooked and perverse people. See, when you are a son and you are a daughter and you live that way, you're not living in a way where you're paralyzed about what's coming up next. Because while you and I live by faith and not by sight, and his word is a lamp unto our feet, not a globe or a ball that we're looking in to see the future in, we do know what the end is, right? We do know that at the end, we know how the story ends, right? Therefore, as we walk in pace and in step with the Spirit and all the time keeping at the end of what it is, I don't have to be afraid of any of these people. I don't have to be afraid of what's going on this earth. I don't have to be afraid by the trivial things. Do I think about them? Sure, because I live in this world. Did I vote? Like what Melanie was talking about. Yeah, I casted my vote, and I sowed that. Pastor Ash told me, I sowed that because it's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm not in fear because it doesn't change who my father is. You get what I'm saying? Therefore, make decisions, God's children. Do the things. Start the businesses. Allow yourself to be led and allow yourself the freedom of being a spirit-filled son or daughter of God to trust that God will be with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He has given you the power to please him. Therefore, what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you find to do, do it with all your might as unto the glory of God. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Should I take this job over here? Should I take this job over here? What about this girl? I like this girl over here. We're not talking about picking between sin. We're talking about making a choice. If we're talking about sin, well, that's not the way a son or a daughter of the Most High thinks anyway. Don't do those things. Yeah. But when we're talking about just making a choice, you're empowered. You're empowered. Make a decision. Live. Go forth. You know, I always think about Abraham. Whenever him and Lot were going to split. You know, and Abraham was going to pray for God, and he says, just look around. North, south, east, and west. Just pick. Wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. If your heart is advancing the kingdom of God, if in your heart it is to advance the kingdom of God, God is going to go with you. He's going to go with you. So don't in your spiritual freedom then bind yourself to spiritual religion and chains where you can't make a decision. Stop that. You are a son. You are a daughter. The reason why you're not experiencing heaven on earth is because you're living like you're not. You are trying to live your life being about your father's business. And so long as my heart is to do what God's will is. My heart is to live how God's will is for me. God's not going to get mad at you if you choose this college over this college. Or you choose not to go to college and start to. God's not going to. As long as the decision factor is, I just want to please God. God won't please you. Then he's with you. He's with you. Amen? You're a son or a daughter. Why would he reject you? You get what I'm saying? We're advancing the kingdom of God. We're bringing heaven on earth. You experience heaven on earth because you walk in. I'm a son. That's how I walk. That's how I live. I'm a son. I'm not talking about picking choices that are sin. I'm not talking about picking things that are going to create division within the people of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being free to make choices. God's given you that authority. You are a son of the Most High. So quit living in fear, okay? So that's the second one. Let me give you one more verse. Let me give you one verse there because I think this is a good verse. I mean, they're all good verses, but this is a good verse. Romans 8:39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, actually, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to be in fear about being separated from the love of God. When your intent and your heart is God's will in his heart and advancing his kingdom. I want to see heaven on earth, God. He's with you, okay? And the third thing, the last thing, is knowing your purpose. Knowing your purpose, okay? Knowing your purpose. This is how we have heaven on earth and we realize it, okay? It's when we know your purpose. And, you know, I like to think of myself as a moderately intelligent person. Well, I like to think of myself as a genius, but I'm woefully reminded all the time of just how short I really fall of that pretty much daily. You know, I like to think of myself as a genius, but I'm just not quite there. But there are just some things I don't understand why, you know. I don't understand why certain things, and I don't understand things I feel like I should understand, and I don't. There are parts of the word that I have no problem comprehending that I feel like are really, really deep. And there are other parts that I'm like, okay, but why? Why is that? We have to know our purpose. We're to live by faith and not by sight. And the reason why is because God has intended us to see heaven on earth and to make earth like heaven. But if we're going to do it, we can't do it just with our own understanding. We can't do it the way that we think things ought to be done a lot of times. 2 Corinthians 10. This is really good. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says, we are human, and we do not wage war, though, as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud, I like how another verse says, a pretentious, because I like that word, pretentious. Every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Every day. Every day. That's what we have to work towards. Every day. Just like that song we sang. And therefore, because we're not fighting the way that the world fights, and we're not advancing the kingdom of God like the world thinks that a kingdom is advanced, we have to be very careful that we don't write people off and we do what the word says. Again, remember, this is something that I think sometimes we struggle with, but Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And sometimes I just forget who exactly that I am that I'm talking to whenever I pray to God. Now, God, can you believe what they did to me? God, can you believe what they said about me? God, can you believe the way they treated me? And yet, while he was on the cross, nails drove through his legs and his wrists and a crown of thorns, and he'd been lashed with the cat of nine tails. He didn't cry out, God, can you believe what they've done to me? He cried out and said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And we get taken back by this because we, even personal attacks, we personalize too much. We personalize personal attacks too much. And I'm not, and please hear me, I am not saying that it doesn't hurt, that it's not repulsive what people say, what people do, that that it's not terrible, but we personalize it, and we sometimes let, well, the fact that they said that, we go and we attach some pain to that as if they have any say over who we actually are. And that keeps us sometimes from being able to forgive people. I could never forgive you because of what you spoke over me. Or I could never forgive you because of what you did to me. Or I could never. And the word says something contrary. And it's because we forget how we actually see heaven on earth. See, like the disciples thought, when they came to get Jesus, oh my gosh, and they pulled their swords out. Peter pulls his sword out. And he's going to fight. Matthew 26, 52 through 53 says, "Put away your sword," Jesus told him, "for those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect me, and he would send them instantly?" See, we think that we have to fight. We have to fight so hard, and we do. We do, but not the way the world does. We do. That doesn't mean that we let people walk over us. It doesn't mean that we let people say things that are untrue. It doesn't mean we let people harm the cause of Christ, because it says we set ourselves up against everything, every obstacle that would try to capture. But we don't fight the way the world fights. We don't get into dog fights on Facebook and Twitter. That's not how we fight. We're not going around putting a gun to everybody's head saying, "You better accept Jesus Christ or else." That's not the way we've been called to live or to walk. But we pray instead. We have to remind ourselves. John 18, 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." Our minds cannot be set on things below, but instead things above. We have to not let ourselves and our purpose be pushed off course because somebody said something mean against us. Well, now we're getting ready. Well, the next 4 years, we're getting ready to get them back. That's not Christ-like. I'm not saying people shouldn't be held accountable for their actions. I'm not saying there's not consequences for the things people do against us and to us. But God says, "Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I've commanded you to be a light." We're to pray for those who persecute us. What? We're to bless those who curse us. What? We're to have grace for one another. And I can't find it when it says, when one of you is being an idiot, slap the stupid out of them. It's not in the Word of God. I've looked. You think it would be so much easier, but that's not how heaven comes and remains in us and through us. And some of us have made a living of living by the sword because we thought we had to defend ourselves a certain way. And what I'm trying to give you this morning is you can be released from that pressure today. You don't have to fight those fights. You don't have to fight that thing that was said. You don't have to fight that thing that one person said to you years ago that you're still remember. You don't have to fight that fight. You don't have to fight that fight. You're not trying to prove any. Why are you living your life trying to prove something to somebody that somebody said something to you negative? You don't have to fight that. That's the way the world fights. Walking around, chip on my shoulder. "You're not going to tell me nothing. Nobody's going to look down on me." You're already a child of the Most High. And the fact that you think no one's going to look down on you, you've placed yourself down there. "No one's going to look down on me." And God's trying to say, "I've already put you above. I've made you the head and not the tail. So why are you living like that?" We have to have grace for each other. We have to make deposits for people in our lives in order to have grace for them preemptively, or else we'll find ourselves all the time frustrated. I want to get this point in, but it says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And sometimes the argument that we have to take captive is the one of condemnation in our own hearts against other people that Christ died for. You want to know why you're not living heaven on earth? It's because you want to send everyone around you with whom you disagree with, who you have conflict with straight to hell. See, God is trying to work within you for them to get them to heaven, and you're trying to send them to hell. You're not experiencing heaven on earth because your purpose is to be a light to the lost and the hurting, but you've decided that you're going to be a vengeful, wrathful, little g God who wants to send everyone to hell around you. See, you thought, because the Bible said be like God, that that meant you get to sit in the seat of judgment instead of put yourself on the cross with Jesus Christ. You thought when Jesus said, the sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah, you hung on to the part where Jonah didn't want to see the people of Nineveh freed from their sin and their forgiveness. Heaven on earth can only come in you and through you when we begin to live how Christ has called us for. And heaven on earth doesn't come with stipulations and compromises that end up setting us back worse than where we were when we started. And heaven on earth has a farther reaching impact than whether or not our candidate got elected. We experience heaven on earth. We walk out heaven on earth by continuing just to understand our purpose. And we strive to pray for our enemies that they might one day become friends of God and brothers and sisters in the faith, thus expanding the kingdom rather than putting up bars and no entry signs into what God has intended for more people to see. As I close, I just want to say this. Heaven on earth surely can be a reality. And Mel, if you want to come on up. Heaven on earth can surely be a reality for God's people, but we can't be waiting around for it to be governmentally enforced. Quit acting like God's far off. He's close and he's at hand. Heaven's close, therefore, and at hand. And it doesn't have to take 5 to 7 business days to get here. The Holy Spirit's already been imparted on the inside of you. You can live heaven on earth. If I can get the prayer team to come on up. I really believe this morning that there's some people who, while they see the goodness of God, the blessing of God, they hear the teaching, they have a hard time thinking that heaven can be right now for them. And what I want to encourage you is maybe you've been thinking some things that you don't need to be thinking. Maybe you've been holding some grudges over people, or you've been fighting fights that you just need to stop. What I want to encourage you this morning is that there are people up here that would love to pray over you to have the realization. And it's revelation. That's all it is. You don't have to walk out a 9-step, 10-step program to live this and believe this and receive this. Just have your thought changed. Have your vision changed. So today, the kingdom that we will advance is unshakable, and it's advancing now. So let's step in line and let's see God's will done. Amen. Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.